It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. Mexican folk dancing and the associated music takes many forms, depending on what part of Mexico the dance is from. But there are commonalities as to what it looks like. Men often dress in traditional attire, for example, a suit with floral embroidery or a white outfit with a red bandana, while women wear traditional Mexican dresses featuring vibrant colors and patterns. It's known as ballet folklorico, and while it has its origins in pre-Hispanic Mexico, dating back to the 1500s, it's evolved and changed through the years and has since become part of Mexico's national identity. And it also has a strong presence here in the U.S., including in Illinois, in the Quad Cities. That's where you can find the Quad Cities Ballet Folklorico, which has been teaching Mexican folk dancing for more than 40 years. Joining us now to talk more about the Quad Cities Ballet Folklorico and Mexican folk dancing is Ray Torones Jr., director of the QCBF. Ray, welcome to the 21st show. Thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Also with us is Sonia Herrera, assistant instructor and board member for the Quad Cities Ballet Folklorico. Sonia, welcome to you as well.
Thank you very much.
Listeners, you can join us today at 800-222-9455 if you have questions about traditional folk dance music. Maybe you've seen one of these performances. Let us know. Maybe you've even done it yourself. 800-222-9455 is the number. All right, Ray, I'm going to start with you. Tell me more about traditional Mexican folk dancing.
Yeah, so ballet folklorico, as you mentioned, started pre-Hispanic Mexico. It's grown throughout the years. As far as here in the Quad Cities, we were established in 1984 by Arnulfo Camarillo. Our origin story actually is a group of kids wanted to get together and do something special for their Mother's Day. And so they did a traditional dance, and Arnulfo Camarillo was happy to teach those dances to them. And then after that, they saw the impact that they had on the community, and they decided to keep on learning and learning, and 40 years later, we're still here.
What kind of styles of ballet folklorico do you focus on there?
So there's a variety of different styles. If you're looking at the coastal region of Mexico, there is Veracruz and Yucatan. It's got a more of an African Caribbean influence. The music is more percussion. The steps are faster. The costumes are, the clothing is a little light fabric. And then if you're looking at northern or central Mexico, you'll see the mariachi music, the polkas of the north. And that has more of a European Spanish influence.
Sonia, you know, about that style, say more about that. What, and for people who can't or maybe haven't seen this before, what does the dancing consist of?
As far as like the style goes, I think the colorfulness is huge with it. It makes the aesthetic more pleasing. But like Ray said, the different states do have different specifics to their region. So the sugarcane and Nayarit, and there's the machetes and the lighter material. Jalisco, the more traditional dance, has the more colorful ribbons and the charro suit with the large, you know, the Jalisco, the traditional sombrero that people think of. So they pull out different things from the states, and the kids learn about that way because we also talk to them about that.
So I've seen, I was trying to think of like if I was describing this to someone who has never seen it, but maybe they've seen, you know, river dance or something like that, right? It's like Irish step dancing meets African-American stepping, but there are swords involved. How can you describe the actual movements and how that works?
There's a lot of intricate footwork. There are some basic steps that everybody learns in the beginning, and we basically just grow from there. The different steps kind of add on to it. Some of our basic steps are single, double, crossover, single. So it's very kind of like you said, comparing to other types of dance, it's very in line. So, you know, like the one sound, even though there's many dancers, they get their steps in tune. So you'll hear a lot of stomping, a lot of loud steps, You'll see a lot of beautiful colors in the skirts and the arrangements as they move and as they spin and twirl. Even the guys, like I said, with the traditional shadow suits, they have the sparkly, not sparkly, but they're metallic. So, you know, you can hear them in the dance, and you sometimes, you know, they'll shine. So that's some of it.
And when you're starting out with young kids in this, what are some of the biggest things that, the biggest hurdles they have to clear to start learning this, right? Is it keeping in time? Is it staying in line? Is it not running off?
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So yeah, the youngest student, the youngest age is age 4, and at that level, it's just getting them out of their shell, having them follow instruction, and just kind of exploring something new. As they progress, middle school, high school, everything gets a little bit more complex. The difficulty level is increased. There's competition because we have more kids in that in those groups. They have to really put in the effort, do work at home, in order to get into the to our performance lineups. But yeah, at the youngest age, it's just having fun, getting them out of their shell and making sure they can follow instructions.
You mentioned competitions. Tell me more about that.
So we've only competed a couple of times, but it is something that we are looking forward to getting back to, hopefully next year. The caliber of students that we have, particularly right now in the older group, they are ready to compete. And hopefully looking at somewhere in either Texas or California, that seems to be the two main states that folklorical competitions are hosted in. So hopefully with the community su support, we can make it down there or over in California.
How do you judge a competition like that?
They have judges, basically professional ballet folklorical dancers or teachers that come in either from universities or professional groups in Mexico, and they're guest judges. And that's my understanding of how they operate competitions.
Sonia, you mentioned the costumes. How tell me more about how you make or procure those costumes.
So we do take great pride in the fact that all of our costumes are authentic and original from Mexico. We have had the honor of going down to learn some dances, a couple different states, quite a few years back. And throughout the 40 years, we've had instructors come from La Universidad de Guadalajara, also from Veracruz, and they come from Mexico and they bring us their traditional dances. So they teach us the steps, the skirt movements, hand placements for the guys, and then they actually bring a costume, an original from Mexico, and we take that. And sometimes we have gone different routes. We've gone through Mex through vendors through Mexico, and have them shipped to us. We also have gone the route of we have a few parents here who are actually real good seamstresses and are able to replicate based off of the authentic original one that we do have. So the kids get to see what it looks like if it were to have, if they were to go there.
And Sonia, we have some music to play here in a moment, but maybe you can help set that up for us. What sort of instruments are used? Tell us a little bit about the music that accompanies the dance.
Well, there's lots of instruments depending on where you're, which state we're dancing to. A lot of people, I think, traditionally do think of like the trumpets, the violins, that typical mariachi band that you would see. And it all comes together beautifully.
All right, we have a sample to listen to. This is La Negra at the 2025 Cinco de Mayo Bash.
Thank you.
Okay, I don't know how well that comes across, especially if somebody's like listening in a car or something like that. But Ray, maybe you can just tell us a little bit about what we're hearing there—the steps, and if people could hear the clicking of the boots in the or the shoes in the background too.
Yeah, sure. So it's exactly what you mentioned earlier when someone asked me what you know what is folklorico. It's basically you know Irish step dancing, but from Mexico. So it's you know the gentlemen, the ladies, they're stomping with their feet. They have special shoes that have nails on the heels or on the toes to really make it a louder, more of an impact. And they're dancing to you know mariachi music. You know specific steps for each part. The majority of the time they're dancing with a partner. Traditionally, it's supposed, you know, it's a sign of courtmanship. The gentleman is trying to, you know, woo the female dancer. It's just, you know, two different individuals dancing together beautifully with the music. And it's just a real show of art that's beautiful from our culture.
You know, we're coming to the end of our time together. Ray, I want to ask you what it means to you, you know, to be helping preserve Mexican culture, especially in this era when you know, there are people who are opposed to the idea of celebrating diverse cultures in America, at least if they're not from Europe.
That's a really good question. So I started at age 7. I didn't want to start at that age. I was forced by my mom, and I'm still doing it to this day, and I'm 40. I think it is super important. You know, right now, there's a lot of differences in the world, but that's always kind of been the case. So I just try my best to promote positivity to our children, to our students, whether that be, you know, making sure they're not afraid to showcase their heritage, who they are, who where they come from, and or, you know, local community organizations putting on events to be a positive thing in the community. So overall, I'm just trying to, you know, we're trying to be as positive as possible.
Sonia, what about you? How do you think about that at this, you know, admittedly perilous time for sometimes showing one's affinity for culture?
So I, when we were younger, I actually remember a specific time where I was rather surprised because back then it was the culture and of like Mexico and everything wasn't quite what it is today. And we were at a performance and there was a gentleman who came in and was like yelling and screaming and saying that they brought these kids from Mexico and we were being taken advantage of. And I'm like, I was born in Illinois just across the bridge. Like, why is he yelling these things? So for myself, like that stands out for me. And I always think of like, how are we going to protect these kids? But at the same time, it is reality, and it's something unfortunately that's going on and that they do have to experience. So I think that us talking to them and them knowing that they do have safe spaces is good for our kids, to know that sometimes you may just be judged based off of how you look or what you take pride in, but you still need to continue to be a good person and continue to be proud of your culture.
Sonia Herrera is an assistant instructor and a board member at Quad Cities Ballet Folklorico. Ray Terones Jr. is director of the QCBF. Thank you both so much for sharing Ballet Folklorico with us today on the 21st show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we're going to leave you today with Jarabe de Colima, also from the 2025 Cinco de Mayo Bash. That's all the time we have for our program today. Coming up tomorrow, a conversation with Colleen Shogan, former archivist of the United States, the person responsible ultimately for safeguarding federal records. It's traditionally been a nonpartisan post, but Shogan was one of the first high-profile officials fired by President Trump. She's going to be speaking later this week in Springfield, but we'll be talking with her tomorrow here on the 21st show, which is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.